It's Tuesday, 10th of March, and you're listening to the Game Greek Greencast, your guide to the world of gaming news from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me streaming is Nikki.
Yo!
And joining me talking is Kayla.
Hello.
And Puce.
Hello.
If you're listening to the audio for this, you're missing a streamcast where Nikki is playing Insurgency. He says he's very, very good at it.
I was going to say, as I said, he died. I was going to say, are we using the term loosely?
So, yeah, for anyone who's not familiar with Insurgency, it is very much, as Kayla said, one-hit kill sort of thing. Bullet trajectory and such is realistic. Materials are realistic. And how much a bullet drop is realistic as well. And I'm actually quite bad. This is also one of the most difficult maps, because if I just bring the map up, the attacking team essentially needs to take the bridge to start with. But the problem with the bridge is it's a perfect sniper point. So we are being hammered by snipers right now.
Well, hammer them back.
So before you started, you said that you weren't going to snipe, you're just going to grab an M4 and run at them.
Yeah, but that's before I realised what map you were on.
So, we'll see the sniper scene.
Can we try and flank?
Right, and while you're flanking, let's find out what everyone's been up to this week. We'll start with Puce.
I've not actually been up to that much this week. I've been popping in and out of Sea of Thieves and Far Cry 5, but... not really had much time to do much else, really.
Have you resubscribed to Game Pass?
My resubscription is not due until next week, I think. But yes, I will be doing.
Fair enough. Kayla, what have you been up to?
Quite a bit. Finally got my Vermintide 2 review up, so that is on the site live now. Very happy with that. I've been pushing out some new series on the actual website. They originated from our social posts, so every Monday. I'm now doing a upcoming this week, which just lets people know what's upcoming that week, basically. Primarily focusing on events, but if there's no events going on, it would be focusing on what games are coming out. And then on Friday, I should know this, I'm doing a development spotlight, which is where I trawl through a bunch of games, all in development, and put the spotlight on them and go, there you go, there's a cool game, go check it out. And I think we're actually going to be talking about one of those today.
Yeah, I spotted it on the site and figured I might as well include it in the podcast so we can...
I killed someone.
So we can include it in the show notes and interest people.
Yeah, sounds good. Other than that, I've been actually playing a lot of StarCraft, the original campaign. Massive fan of StarCraft. I say that, I've not actually finished StarCraft 2 all the way. I've only played Wings of Liberty. Just never really got into position to pick up Heartless Swarm and... what's the other one? Void something. Something or other Void.
Legacy of the Void.
That's the one. Legacy of the Void. So really enjoying that at the moment, actually. Thinking of maybe doing like a look back article on it or something.
That'd be interesting. Didn't it get released for free from Blizzard?
Yes, and that's actually why I'm playing again. The original version is free. You can pick up the HD remaster, I think it was like $12.99 or something, but I wanted to go full nostalgia, so I just went for the normal, I'm almost through it now. I think I'm coming into the Brood War expansion now.
You don't care about graphics?
I don't care about graphics.
Right, Nikki, are you a bit busy, or do you want to tell us what you've been up to?
I'm dead right now. So the way the game works as well is you have reinforcement waves. I'm unfortunately dead, so I've got to wait for the next wave. But no, I've been Do you know, ironically, I'm playing Insurgency. This is the first I've played in about 2 weeks. But no, the last week I've been playing a lot of The Witch and the Hundred Knight 2, to be honest with you. Hoping to get the review for that done pretty sharpish. It's good. And it's probably got the best character of any video game ever.
The Witch or the Hundred Knight?
It is the butler, who is a giant raven, who is a widowed runaway, has kids, drag queen.
Interesting.
They're very fabulous, and by far the best character in the game. Can I just point out that I despise the writing in that. The pacing is awful, and really... only the butler and the witch have good voice acting. The rest of them, it feels like they recorded all the lines away from each other. Like, no one's having a conversation. They're all kind of reading out a line, and then the next person read out a line. It's just like, ugh.
Yeah, there's a lot of pauses in the delivery of the voice acting, unfortunately. I think so far the voice acting is probably the weakest part of that game. I also can't find anyone to shoot. But... yeah, there's some interesting characters. I'm really glad as well because they've kept the humor and sort of the tone of the first game. For anyone who hasn't played the first game, one of the best lines is literally when your master, Metalia, tells you to kill that beeping whore. And it's carried over into the second game.
Well, you should have killed that beeping whore the first time.
But the great thing is, this time around, they realized, wait, we don't actually need to censor anything. So there's no censoring, and it's fantastic, because it's just so unexpected from this one character. Oh, is that a sniper rifle? It is.
I played the first one. I reviewed it for Game Grin, and I don't really remember much about it. I remember it was kind of top-down-ish, wandering around, killing things, and being shouted at by the witch.
Yeah, the first game, it's a hack and slash kind of dungeon crawler esque with a weird combo system. Like, it's hard to explain what the game is on the surface in terms of how the gameplay and such works, because it is so bizarre. But this one's refined things a lot better, so you know you can actually kind of get into the meat of the game a lot quicker. I managed to soft lock it earlier though. That was really funny.
On purpose?
No. I didn't even realise it was possible to softlock essentially a single player game with an online feature, but I managed. Oh god, being shot at.
I'm sure you'll mention it in your review when that goes up on the site.
I will, yes. I'm going to go back to sniping now.
Yes. Myself, I've been playing more Far Cry 5 to fuel some articles and videos. I've got an article, should be going up tomorrow, I imagine. Maybe Thursday. And I've also been playing every classic Sonic game that's available on 3DS.
Oh, nice.
For an article. Yes, I was ranking all of the Virtual Console Sonic games.
I was going to say it's not so nice for Ace, because they were mostly awful Game Gear games.
Yeah, they were all Game Gear games.
I didn't realise there were so many available on the 3DS.
Yeah, as well as those eight, there's also the Sonic Boom titles, the 3D versions of the Mega Drive, Sonic 1 and Sonic 2. And I think that's it, actually. Generations.
I got to review the second Sonic Boom game on... the second Sonic Boom game, but it was one on 3DS for the last site I was on. Yeah, that game's awful. Just straight up awful.
Yeah, both Sonic Boom games are awful. Do not play those, listener. Do not.
However, the 3D classic Sonic games are well worth buying. M2's ports are always great, and all the classics games are pretty universally awesome.
You've been playing the original on your phone, haven't you, Kayla?
Yeah, I've been playing Sonic 2, and for the life of me, I cannot beat Metal Sonic and Big Dr. Robotnik robot.
That's not Metal Sonic, that's Silver Sonic.
Alright, I knew someone was going to... He's made of metal, he's... Alright, okay. However, I have worked out my speedrunning strat for it, so when I do finally beat it, I'm gonna do it very, very quickly. It's just taken me 2 months, and I still haven't done it.
Is your strategy player's tails and fly as much as possible?
No, I was playing as Sonic. I just don't understand how I was able to do it as a kid, with limited lives and all the rest of it. Like, I have no idea. I blame touchscreen controls.
You need to get a controller that will plug into you.
I do, yeah.
Right, well, speaking of games you played as a kid, Spyro Reignited, a remaster of the first three Spyro games, has been announced.
Whoop whoop! It's so
officially
pretty.
It's probably, like, okay, the Crash Bandicoot remaster was alright. I didn't grow up with Crash Bandicoot, though, but it was nice to go back. Fuck Crash 1, because it's really difficult, and they messed up the collision slightly. However, Spyro was my childhood, and it's so cool to see that it's getting a really nice makeover.
See, I'm the opposite. I never played Spyro at all. I was Crash instead. But yeah, seeing this remaster is really making me wanna play it.
I adored Spyro. It was on a demo disc I got with my PlayStation, and I got a the one with a DualShock controller. So if you held down circle and aimed at a wall, he'd hit the wall and the pad would vibrate. And I just thought that was amazing.
It's interesting as well, because Sonic used, at the time, a lot of technical advances to make it really sort of handle the loading times of environments. So it was a really good sort of step forward for the industry, and I'm happy as well, because people might not know, but the company who's actually doing this remaster are the ones that have been doing Skylanders for the last like millennia, so they're kind of the right people to be doing it, really.
Yeah, Skylanders was always kind of like the unofficial sequel Spyro games. That they were always kind of semi-linked to Spyro. They always kind of either had him in as a cameo or references in there somewhere to the old Spyro games, so it's nice that they're getting to work on him again.
And isn't the people who did the Crash remaster part of it as well?
They are involved, yes. I don't know if they're involved in the development, but they are involved in definitely the marketing and such.
It's kind of funny because the Spyro remasters were rumoured for a long, long, long time, probably even before the Crash ones, so it's kind of nice that they're actually surfaced now.
Yeah, and official as well.
Yeah, it'll be coming 21st of September for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And it comes with Spyro, Spyro 2, Ripto's Rage, and Spyro Year of the Dragon.
Can we just point out that Ripto's Rage is the better title for Spyro 2? Because Spyro 2 is Ripto's Rage and also Gateway to Glimmer. But Ripto's Rage is just...
It does pop more than Gateway to Glimmer.
I just can't get over the graphics. Just how good it all looks. I think their Twitter recently pushed out a comparison video, and the difference is just insane. It's really brought this world to life, because I remember, I'm looking at the old screenshots now, like Spyro being very flat kind of areas, like nothing really in it, so this remaster, they've got so much room to add so much detail, and they're definitely doing that.
Well, even at the time, the Spyro games looked gorgeous for the hardware they were on.
A couple of people have been noting that environments look smaller or things look worse. Something to always bear in mind with these things is, yes, the environment, the size of levels is going to look different because they've been remodeled. So what was in the latest screenshot of the tree level, pardon me, just burping there, in the original it was just a cylinder, but now it's an actual, like, it's got geometry, there's really cool textures around it, so it makes sense that there's a size difference.
Yeah, I mean, the thing people have to remember is it's like the PS1 originals. A lot of the areas were very flat, empty plains with the odd bit of the odd model dropped in there to make it a bit more interesting, just because of the original PlayStation's capabilities. So they're going to have to rejig quite a lot of stuff, I imagine, but it'll work out in the end. As long as it feels like the originals, then it'll be fine.
We do have some of the comparison shots in the screenshot gallery on our site. And there's one of Spyro blowing fire at an enemy, and the enemy looks so different, and the fire doesn't have little rockets, it's actual flames.
Wait, the fire had rockets?
Yeah, in the original, I didn't think that they were. I thought it was a choice that Spyro breathed fiery rockets, but must not have been.
Yeah, I'm just looking through these screenshots now, and oh my god, like, even Spyro, like, just looks incredible.
To those of you that are watching the stream, you can see that I am doing really bad right now.
It's the streamer's curse.
It is.
How many people have you taken down?
I think I've gotten 2 kills this round. Doesn't tell you until you die.
Are you on a different map?
Yeah, so we're on a different map now. This is... Oh, I just got two kills there, actually. It just told me. This is the embassy map, I think. I can't remember. Worth pointing out is Insurgency usually doesn't give you this many things on the HUD, especially the kill feed in the top right, but servers have it, and honestly, I prefer playing with it.
So and it's, I killed that it's guy. A mod that people can enable on their server.
Yes.
No, one random Spyro fact. Ripto was ended up being called Ripto because when Spyro was translated into Japanese, the characters that make up Spyro's name in katakana, they kind of look like the letters Ripto. So that's where Ripto came from.
Oh.
So technically it's Spyro's Revenge.
Yes. It's kind of like the mirror Spyro.
Ow.
Sorry, I lost what was in my clipboard, so I couldn't go to the next news story. Spider-Man has received a release date, as well as Spyro.
Yes, I'm really excited. I love Spider-Man. I love
Spider-Man or bust.
From what I'm seeing from Spider-Man, I am really hyped. Like, really, really hyped.
Yeah, I'm still kind of worried that a lot of the cooler things, because of how they're framed in the trailers and things, it makes you wonder whether they're all quick-timey. I'm hoping they're not all quick-timey style events. Some obviously are, but it'd be nice if a lot of these things are kind of like adaptive animation type things based on where you are, which will be really cool. But it does look amazing.
Yeah, because these kind of games, I always worry they're going to fall into that trap, like the... older Batman games of or Assassin's Creed of press circle to counter kind of thing, but I don't think this one is. I think this one is going to have like proper abilities, and the QTs might just be down to certain areas and what's in the environment to use.
Well, at least in Spider-Man it makes sense for him to have a counter button because he has spider sense.
Yeah, that's true.
In Assassin's Creed, it doesn't really make sense that he's going to know every single time someone's swinging a sword at him from behind.
It's called the bleeding effect.
I am kind of sad that it's kind of lost the Insomniac Spider-Man. I kind of wish it would actually have been called that when it was finally announced.
Yeah, it seems to have just been announced very quietly that it's just called Spider-Man.
It's just Spider-Man. Which is fine.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder why that is. Just It seems like they just kind of like, oh, we'll just go to Spider-Man.
Yeah, because it's been unnamed Spider-Man title since it was rumored.
I wonder if with all the films and that, they've had issues getting a name.
I was really hoping it'd be Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man or Spectacular Spider-Man.
Spectacular, yeah.
Named after one of the comics rather than Amazing Spider-Man being named after the Amazing Spider-Man movie.
Can we also point out that the quick travel is amazing?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Gets on the tube and just on his phone, just on the tube, like all the other commuters.
What do we think to costumes being pre-order bonuses?
They are going to be available by March 2019.
They are.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. They also said as well that they are accessible in the game. Like, you can just unlock them later on, whereas if you pre-order, then as soon as you get the option to change outfits, you can just do it straight away.
Oh, okay, it's just like an early unlock. It's not actually a replacement. That's cool.
Yeah.
From the fact that the first that one they've announced is Spider-Punk, I imagine Spider-UK is going to be one of them as well.
Maybe. I'm hoping for Venom suit, just a classic Venom suit.
Now, is that the Venom suit or the black suit that he wore after the Venom?
I'm hoping for Venom.
I think there's definitely going to be a black symbiote suit of some description, one way or the other.
There usually is. The release date for that is going to be the 7th of September, so it's going to be released a couple of weeks before Spyro. So September looks like it's going to be a busy month for PlayStation.
Very busy month, yeah.
Our next news story is about how Boskey Productions is going to be less busy going on. They've halted development on Lawbreakers, the game which has had seven players in a 24-hour period as of yesterday.
It is really sad because it's not a bad game. It just came out at the wrong time.
Yeah, and the marketing didn't really help because they didn't really showcase what made it different. So it just kind of felt, it looked very Me Too from everything that they saw. But it did actually have some really unique mechanics, but they never really showcased that off. So,
oh, it's had 9 hours in the 24-hour peak. Yesterday it was 7. But 0 players as of 15 minutes ago. Not good. But yes, they've announced that they're leaving it as is. They're no longer going to work on it. They're moving on to other things. I believe what they've moved on to was actually announced earlier today.
Yeah, it's available on Steam today. It's Radical Heights, which is an extreme early access battle royale shooter. It's basically a generic battle royale game set in the 80s, but with BMX bikes and craziness. And the art style is kind of, I guess you would say it's Fortnite-esque. It's a very cartoony-ish art style.
It's free to play, and yes, it has mostly negative Steam reviews already. Oh dear.
Oh, no. Yes, it's not looking good.
600 odd.
Because it looks kind of very GTA-esque. It's like they just went, oh, let's do a GTA kind of style battle royale, which I think could work, but. Yeah, like I was looking at the trailers and things earlier, and just like the game, like everything just looks really rushed. Like nothing looks very polished at all.
The other thing people have noted as well is it doesn't have any female character models.
So it's literally earliest ever access.
Yeah, well they've pitched it as extremely early, yeah, radical. But to be honest with you, I think they're panicking as a company, so they're trying to jump on the bandwagon, and yeah.
Right now, they've got some big competitors to go against if they're going to go into this market, and yeah, unfortunately, starting off on the wrong foot, this could just be dead on arrival again.
One review has it, Bad Rats compared to this is a masterpiece.
Ooh.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Bad Rats is the most negatively reviewed game on Steam.
Oh, that's not good.
Right, so let's leave Lawbreakers behind, as Boss Key Studios have done. And move on to one game that's getting developed. Sea of Thieves are announcing a roadmap this week.
Yes.
I think we're predominantly pro Sea of Thieves here, aren't we?
I think so. I think most of us enjoy it in some way or other.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm pro last games doing well.
Last night when we rage quit, quite bad.
Oh, last night was ridiculous, though, to be fair. I got quite... Yeah.
So we saw a skeleton fort, we're like, oh, let's go for it. So we get there, we get about halfway through it, and now a skeleton fort, we've done one without being interrupted by any other players before, and it took us 40 minutes to do, and this has just taken on waves of skeletons to get to the captain, kill the captain, get a key, open the vault, get tons of treasure. So we're about halfway through this one, and... a big galleon shows up, so we're in our sloop. It's a two-person boat. They're in a four-person ship. And we proceed to just get absolutely demolished. Two of their crew jumped aboard without us noticing, and they just shoot us in the back with blunderbusses, which kills you instantly. And then becomes the cycle of a horrible spawn campaign, because you die, you go to visit the Ship of the Damned, as a ghost, and you've got to wait to respawn. The issue is that you wait so long to respawn, you then go through a black screen of a horrible loading time. But the worst thing about it is, you can hear things happening around you, so your character's on the boat, you can hear things, and you can hear shots being fired, you can hear your ship filling with water, and by the time you actually get control of your character and you can see again, the other players have found you and they've killed you again.
Yep. So you end up with this really bad spawn camping. And then once your boat sinks as well, you're supposed to respawn on the new island where it's been respawned, but nope, sometimes it just dumps you in the middle of the ocean and then you get shot again. And unfortunately, Sea of Thieves has, at the minute, the biggest issue, I think, is the servers and the spawning, to be honest with you. But other than that, like it is really enjoyable.
In defense of the people who were spawn camping you yesterday, I believe in the podcast last week you said that you were spawn camping, Nikki.
Yes, no, we did say if the situation was reversed, we would have done exactly the same. So we're no better than anyone. It is frustrating, though.
I think the problem is it just goes to show how easy it is to abuse the system. Mm-hmm. I think that's the problem. I mean, the fact that the loading screen tip tells you that if you're being griefed, you should just sink your boat. It's like, guys, come on.
Yeah, the spawn camping is definitely the main issue. The main issue, I think, is the fact that you respawn on your boat. And as long as, basically, you can just be griefed forever if they don't sink your boat, because you're always going to reappear there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a really difficult problem to try and solve with it being separate from the player. It's not like a simple play and respawn mechanic, because you've got your ship to think about as well. It's like, if you destroy the ship, then the ship respawns somewhere else and all's hunky-dory, at least unless you're being followed. But yeah, it's one of those weird things, because it's like a two-step spawn process. So it is kind of... I do feel for them in that it's difficult to try and come up with a solution.
Yeah, it's not easy. Their current solution has been, now when you die, you respawn pretty much across the map. So really, it's designed to discourage you from going to the same spot again, which is kind of tricky when, especially the skeleton forts, for example, there's so much treasure to be had there, and then when you've invested, you know, 30 minutes into doing this, and then you get sunk, and you're like, no, I want to go back after them, I want to at least try and deny them this.
Yeah, because I've earned that stuff, that's mine.
And then you've got to spend 10-20 minutes just sailing directly back to where you've got to be to potentially just get absolutely destroyed again. And it's not an easy thing to fix. It does feel like if you're going to play it, it is just, if you sink once, you may as well just give up.
Yeah, because it kind of ignores the fact that if you're doing a voyage, you're normally at an island for a specific purpose, so you're going to go back there because you want to finish the voyage that you're on. So.
Exactly.
Oh, I got disconnected.
And the fact you can't have more than one voyage running at a time, so you're then stuck. And as far as I'm aware, you can't abandon a voyage.
No, you can vote to cancel it, but that's another thing entirely, isn't it? Because you've still got to go back to an outpost to pick up another one, so you're still basically wasting time.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
And having to and being forced to abandon whatever it is you're doing because people are grieving, which isn't an ideal situation.
So, my experience with Sea of Thieves has pretty much been: you play, and if you're going to play, you're guaranteed to be playing for a good few hours. You can't play Sea of Thieves for a short amount of time, like I think like a minimum of an hour. To at least do something of worth, to like feel like you've done something. I just got my point now. What was I saying? Yes, yeah, so it's always been very sort of 50-50 with me when playing. Like, it's either been a really bad session or a really good session. And when it's really, really good, it makes you want to keep coming back and playing. And when you have a bad one, you still want to come back to have that good kind of voyage. If that makes any sense.
So yeah, it's crack. Definitely back. It's like crack, really.
And it's interesting about the announcement of the roadmap, because it's like the main criticism of the game is the activities aren't very varied, and there aren't very many of them. But a lot of the fun in that game, and a lot of the moments that really make it memorable, are because you're playing with other players. And although that's great, it's not really an excuse for there not being much content in the game. But at the same time, you can't really imagine how they can extend the mechanics that are already in there. It feels like they'd have to add new mechanics as well.
Yeah, I feel like all they can do is keep adding more random events. So you set out to do a voyage, that's kind of like your baseline. You go do that, then you might run across a player, you might run across the Kraken, or you might find a skeleton fort. But because the skeleton forts and the Kraken are so rare, the only thing that happens is other players, mostly. And not everyone wants to be fighting other players all the time. So, yeah, there needs to be more PvE sort of elements happening, like some more threats sort of dotted around. Yeah, it is very much that you go out to do something, and then suddenly stuff happens, and that's what makes it an adventure.
And it's like if you have an encounter, and it's like, no, you're not stealing my chicken. I want my chicken back, and it's just that one chicken, and then that suddenly becomes your focus of the evening, and then that's something really memorable, even though it's something really silly and daft.
Absolutely. We had a session about that actually. We had three chickens on our ship. We parked up. Or anchored up, whatever you say. A galleon had appeared behind us and just started filling our ship with cannonballs, nothing we could do. So we got our chickens off into the island, hid our chickens. Nikki stayed on the island to defend our chickens and make sure they didn't steal them. I came back on the boat, and they'd all jumped out onto the island to try and find us. Nikki had got onto their boat, raised their anchor, sailed them straight into some rocks as I sort of sailed past and just shot a couple of shots at them. And they must have had some gunpowder on board, because I shot them once and suddenly there was a chain reaction. The whole ship just went up.
It was amazing.
And then we managed to steal their treasure, and they had a couple of chickens that drowned. So we then rescued our chickens and went off on our happy little ways.
Crikey, I like how that went from everyone here likes Sea of Thieves, but this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad. But this is awesome!
Yeah, that's it with this game. It's either good or it's bad. And that's the problem at the moment.
There's not really an in-between. It's like absolutely amazing, or it's super frustrating.
And that's why I think we've got such a divide between people who played it. So someone that jumped into it and had a bad session on their first go is going to be like, this game is crap, I'm not going to bother playing it. Then you've got it on the other side where people have had an incredible session and they're like, yeah, no, it is really good, you've just got to give it a chance. But yeah, it's tricky. We have decided that we're going to hold off renewing our Game Pass. What was it, Xbox Game Pass?
Yeah, the Xbox Game Pass, until we see this roadmap, which hopefully is going to bring some good additions. Because again, like, if you go through interviews and content that was in trailers and the art book, there are so many great plans and ideas, and it'd be great to see those into fruition. And why did I get shot in the back?
Because someone saw you.
No shit, Sherlock.
Because your back's very shiny and it stands out.
Right, well, from Sea of Thieves to an older game. It's been rumoured that GTA 4 is going to be losing some songs this month, because it's 10 years old, and when San Andreas was 10 years old, some songs were patched out. So due to licenses expiring, they predict that it's going to happen to GTA 4 as well.
I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's a really weird thing that they patch games that are already the sort of people already own to remove the things. I can understand them not being in the game going forward in future sales, but it's always been odd to me that they have to remove them from prior purchases as well, which is where you've got an advantage if you own the game on disc still, unless they force a patch, obviously.
Yeah, I don't understand why anyone really cares that much about the license. I mean, the game's not being sold en masse like it was, unless they decided to do like a remaster or something like that, I could then maybe understand, but as for now, I don't understand.
Well, my issue would be if they patched the patch songs out, but they still haven't patched out games for Windows Live.
Yeah.
And that would be really ridiculous. But yes, people aren't buying it for the soundtrack, unlike Vice City, which soundtrack was awesome. I speak as a fan of 80s music. Obviously, if Rockstar came out and said we're having to remove these via a patch, then no one would fault them. But when they did it with San Andreas, it was all sneaky. They just released a patch that did something, and it was up to users to find out what happened. And someone found, oh, well, there's songs missing now.
Yeah, the San Andreas patch was also a bit naughty, because it actually changed the Steam, the PC version altogether. So it was basically a port of the mobile version all of a sudden. So there was lots of other little differences as well, which was kind of sneaky.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem. It's something that developers and studios really need to pay attention to, that they need to have that transparency, you know, like for Sea of Thieves and its roadmap, you know, like. Players are demanding transparency in what happens to the games that they're playing.
And we're also in this period now where games are a service now, like that whole coin of phrase of games for service thing, that's the norm now, you know. And yes, you're paying a lot of money up front, but you know, it's more, games are becoming more of an investment than anything now, and people need to have that transparency to know that, okay, I'm paying this money, but I'm going to get this down the line. And so we need that. We need to see what's going on.
That's what I like about the Far Cry 5 Season Pass being... They told us what was going to be in the Season Pass well before the game came out.
They even showed us the DLC before the game came out. That was a bit worrying.
Well, it's not going to be cut content, because one of them's set in Vietnam, another's set on Mars, and those are not things you're going to do during the main game.
Fun fact, though, the free DLCs are seeded in the main campaign. You actually, I don't know if you've gotten this far, Ace, but you do meet characters that essentially reference the events of the DLCs. There is a guy...
I have seen someone that is to do with the Mars DLC.
Yes, and there's a character you find who does talk about Vietnam and stuff, so...
Yes, you have to collect lighters for him, I think.
Yes, I actually think it's quite a clever marketing strategy as well, to be like, oh, You already know these people. You want to know more?
But yes, I agree that games are becoming a bit of a service. I was going to leave this until last, but we might as well jump onto it this now. Ghost Recon Wildlands is entering year 2, and still releasing new content for their PvP, and also a special mission featuring Splinter Cell's Sam Fisher.
No, featuring Michael Ironside. He's back.
Yeah, yes. What an odd way to reintroduce Mr. Ironside, but it's fantastic. I was way more excited about this than I probably should be for a standalone mission, but it was really cool.
The problem is he's 60 as of last year. I don't mean Michael Ironside. I mean Sam Fisher as voiced by Michael Ironside.
But it's Sam Fisher. It's fine.
He just needs to have a son. And then we'll put the sun story.
I played the Wildlands beta and I never bought the game because, to be honest with you, the first region I was kind of like, well, if every region is just this, I'm a bit kind of, you know, done. But I might pick it up because it's going to be having a sale this week as well, as well as a free weekend to celebrate the second year and the Splinter Cell event. But I am tempted because Ghost Recon is good, but it's just such a big game of doing the same thing, unfortunately.
It's a ton more fun if you're playing it co-op with 3 other people.
Definitely.
Well, that was the thing, because me, Kayla, and our housemate did the beta all together, but the problem was every single encounter was the same thing, and I just took a shotgun to the face.
You're supposed to sneak around and shoot people from afar, not running their guns blazing, Mr. M4 shotgun to the face.
No, but that's what we did in Ghost Recon. Like we were sneaky, but every single outpost we cleared was the same sneaky thing, no matter how much we tried to mix it up.
Yeah, my biggest problem with it was, and I think I've spoken about this before, is how we'd go to an outpost, we'd just set up one person on one side of the outpost, shoot a guy, and then all the enemies would just run to that side of the base.
Yeah, so leaving the other side exposed.
Yeah, yeah, so everyone just could walk in and do the objective, and I was like, oh, is that it? Like, that just seemed a bit like, oh, okay.
You need someone who's crap at driving or flying vehicles. That makes the start of every mission.
I think that's the thing that I enjoyed the most was the vehicles, especially the helicopters. That was a lot of fun.
They have improved the handling of the helicopters. It used to be awful.
Can you still stand on the helicopter blades as they're spinning?
I haven't been able to manage that even during the beta.
I mean, to be fair, it is a good game. I think at the time it was also, because we are in that unfortunate time, I say unfortunate, where we're still first world problems, where there's just too many good games at once, so you do have to prioritise. But I think I might maybe look at getting it this weekend, because with all the updates, it's probably going to be a lot better. And it was a very pretty game as well.
Yes, just don't go for the season pass, because, Narco Road was a racing DLC in a game where the vehicle handling was not very good.
Yeah.
It was one of those weird games. It's one of those weird things where it's a good game and it's great when you. It's kind of, I suppose I'd say it's kind of similar as Sea of Thieves in a way, in that the basic moment-to-moment gameplay is very samey, but when you're playing with friends, everything suddenly becomes loads more fun anyway. And I think that's true of any game with co-op. So.
Ah! Sorry.
Well done.
To those of you who are listening and not watching, I just got ganked.
Crikey. Right, Our last thing is, as I mentioned earlier, the development spotlight, which are now appearing on the site. This week it was Kerbounce.
Kerbounce.
Would you like to tell us more about it, Kayla?
Sure. So this actually stood out to me Partly because in my third year of uni, I made a game with this exact same concept. Well, I say I made a game, I made a demo. It's far superior to Kabounce in every way, and it will never be released. Kabounce is much better. So it's, how do they describe it? It's a pinball-esque kind of competitive multiplayer game where you control a little ball. It's all in there, really cool, kind of like neon colours, like very Tron-like, I guess. And you build up points by bouncing off of bumpers, and you can use abilities to steal points from other players. And yeah, it looks really, really cool. And it's been developed by Stitchheads Entertainment. Don't know what else they've done, but yeah, I just saw this one that's jumped out to me. I thought this is a cool one to follow.
Yeah, the trailer's really interesting. You score points by bouncing off of bumpers and by attacking other players.
All in this really cool pinball kind of arena. So there's lots of high speed kind of bouncing and getting air and sort of chaining combos together to get points. And I think the thing interesting the most is when you bounce off the bumpers, you essentially claim those as your own. So it looks like you get more points for hitting the bumpers that are your own. And it's kind of like a map control, sort of points based sort of mission.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like there's a territorial control aspect to it, where it looks like, yeah, it does look like the combo goes up the more that's your colour. So it kind of looked, to me, kind of, I was going to describe it as Rocket League meets pinball.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Reminds me as well of classic Tony Hawk's, you know, doing points to, you know, claim that rail as yours. And ooh, I'm lagging quite badly.
But there's a ton of customization as well, so you can like add all kinds of faces to your ball and change the like glow trail that follows it around, and yeah, it looks really polished. I'm looking forward to this one.
On Steam, apparently, Stitchheads Entertainment have also done Kabounce Beta.
Oh.
So this appears to be their first game.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, I don't know if I actually wrote about it, but they got funded by Unreal as well, because they were using their engine, and some sort of partnership, I think. I'm going to try and find it.
Yeah, Unreal do a lot of grants, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was one of those.
Yeah, because they do those periodic dev sort of... not competitions as such, but that sort of thing where people get to submit projects and then they contribute towards them in some way, don't they?
Yeah, here it is. So Kabounce originated from Unreal 4 Engine game Jam, themed Rocket and Roll, in which Stitchhead founders participated. Kabounce was crowned as one of the winners, and it was taken into full-time production. Later they recruited more talent, and the studio's gotten bigger, and yeah, they got funding from... the Creative Industries Fund. I don't know if that's Unreal or who that is. It says they've been primarily self-funded, but in 2015 they got funding from Creative Industries Fund.
Apparently it's split screen up to four players, or you can play online, and it's going to cost €10.99/€14.99/dollars.
For the price, I think it's definitely well worth a look, this one.
Yeah, that's a good price point by the look of the trailer. That's definitely on the radar.
And it's different. It's a very different sort of competitive game to what we're getting at the moment.
You're not shooting people, for one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but where's the frying pan in this?
You are the frying pan.
Oh, I would so do that. You know, have a replacement ball model that's a frying pan of some sort somehow.
Or just change the face into a frying pan.
I mean, you do get hats, no, so
it'd
maybe...
have to be on the rear, though. But yeah, that looks very, very cool. I do like the look of that. I like any sort of Tron neon-esque type aesthetic, though, to be fair.
Do you have an idea of what this week's development, well, yeah, this week's development spotlight's going to be?
Maybe. I think it might be...
Can you give us a tease?
I was looking at Earthfall, actually, which is, how to describe it, kind of like Killing Floor, Left 4 Dead, zombie sort of shooter, survival type shooter.
Well, they're going to be at EGX, and our Spherical Cat, who's usually on the podcast, but not today, is going to see it, so we should have a hands-on preview and an interview.
Awesome. And
on the site.
And it is an early access, so you can jump on it now for $10.99.
It's funny, $10.99 for Kabounce I'd consider, but $10.99 for Earthfall, I don't have the same, I could get that.
I wonder probably if that because, is because...
Probably because of the genre.
Yeah, it, like, we've seen this before. Like, it looks very good, it looks very polished, but yeah, it is very much like, oh, I've seen this before.
Yeah, it is quite interesting now. So just taking a simple mechanic and going, just because it's something different that you've not seen before or very often, it just suddenly makes something much more appealing than yet another game with guns. I know that's very reductive because a lot of games have very unique things about them, regardless if they're in the same genre or not. But it is funny how just taking something as simple as a bouncy ball.
I mean, that's just the mobile market.
Can be much more interesting.
Oh, God damn it.
Apparently, once Earthfall leaves early access, it's going to be $29.99.
Oh, same.
Dollars.
So if you want it, get it now.
Yeah.
Get down on it.
Right, how are you doing on the stream, Nikki?
Yeah, not good. I'm, to be honest with you, I don't usually play Insurgency for long periods of time, so this is a bit different. I do apologize as well, there is a bit of choppiness on the stream. The servers I'm on are apparently lagging, so that's always fun. But we're getting there. I've got a couple of kills, if you've seen them. They were quite good. I thought they were good.
I didn't see them.
They were the best kills I've ever seen in this game.
They're the only kills you'll see in this game.
This is the first stream I've seen of this game.
But there we go.
Before we sign off, if you've been following the development of Dauntless, the free-to-play Monster Hunter game on the PC, is going to have an open beta being announced tomorrow, the date for that.
Yes, and you should definitely have a look at that, because it's very, very good.
So someone has guessed between July and September, and they have replied with a GIF of someone shaking their head.
I love that.
I will say any time between now and December is a likely date.
If they could do it before Spider-Man, that'd be great. Oh god, we've got God of War in 2 weeks as well.
I'd say towards the end of this month, because otherwise you're not going to announce that you're going to announce a date.
Years.
The last time I jumped into Dauntless, it's getting there.
Yeah. Yet to actually play it, so it'd be interesting to jump on it, but I mean, I'm for anything Monster Hunter, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the last update made some great changes to the UI and stuff, which was the main thing that was kind of lagging behind. It was kind of the thing that they were twitching last, I guess. But yeah, they seem to have made a lot of improvements to the just general behaviour of the game. They've changed how monster behaviour is as well. They were very repetitive and easily learnable before, but they've kind of tried to mix it up a bit, and I think they're doing that on a monster-by-monster basis.
Is it bad for me to admit that this is kind of the first of me not hearing of it, but kind of actually looking at it?
No, it's a free-to-play game that hasn't really been getting a ton of press.
And I love the airship design.
The art style,
you generally see those much.
Yeah, the art style is great in general, but I'm still not a fan of the character models art.
Speaking
me,
of...
me and Ace independently managed to make the same looking avatar.
Yeah, oh. Exactly the same.
Also worth noting, I can't remember the exact details, but Worlds Adrift is also entering early access either tomorrow or this weekend, one of the two.
Yeah, weren't they having a stream about that today?
Yes, I think there was something about that today.
I think this is the way forward for a lot of games now, of pretty much, like we were talking about games of service, it's now kind of, we're getting tons of, oh, play this game for sort of free or on early access for sort of cheaper. It's one of the best ways to actually sell your game at the moment, I think.
I've not long received an email. Worlds Adrift is going into early access 17th of May.
So I was completely wrong. I'm going to take a shotgun at the battle now.
Yeah, I had a really early look at that, and it was interesting, but it was very early when I last looked, so I've got no idea how it's changed since then.
Yeah, I also had a look at it ages and ages ago. I had massive lag problems, and then towards the end of the test period, every time I loaded the game up, my character would just constantly turn right, and I couldn't get it to stop. I unplugged all my peripherals and restarted the computer.
That is horrible.
God damn you, German Empire. I've been killed by German Empire for the last 4 deaths. Sorry.
Maybe you should look for some allies.
I'm neutral, goddammit.
Maybe you should stop going into that shop.
That's the objective, though.
Maybe you should stop playing the objective.
Yeah, maybe I should just sit in a corner and kill my teammates.
I can say, other people probably don't play the objective, so you ought to join in.
Wait, there's objectives in games?
Go
yeah,
on,
the objective
Mark.
Is to keep all of the strong potions until you reach the end.
So I have 99 of them.
99 mega potions and you don't need any.
99 ethers.
That's why you don't need any, because you've got 99 of them. If you hadn't collected them, then you would need them.
Yeah, RPGs definitely promote a hoarder mentality in my mind.
If they didn't want you to hold all the things, they wouldn't give you infinitely big pockets.
God, where does Cloud even keep 99 ethers?
Have you seen his hair?
He's got quite baggy pants as well, so maybe they're all in there.
I suppose his sword could be hollow.
I just want to point out that I've just found a rocket launcher.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Buster Sword's definitely got the size for it, hasn't it?
So, while we're talking about Cloud, Final Fantasy VII Remake. Who's excited? Who doesn't care?
I've played Final Fantasy VII, I'm not really... Well, then again, I've played Spyro, and I'm really excited about that remake.
I think the problem with Final Fantasy VII Remake
did
is
Did you just blow yourself up?
No!
You just blew yourself up, didn't you?
I lied!
Sure you did.
Yeah, I think the problem with the Final Fantasy VII Remake is that it's modern Square making it, and not old Square.
Yeah, I'm... After seeing just how much they're milking... 15? 14?
Yeah,
15. I'm a little bit concerned about what they're going to do with the remake.
Especially because it seems like it's essentially a new game, but just, oh look, it's got those characters and those places, but look, we're totally changing everything about it.
Which I don't hate, because I'm not a big fan of sort of JRPG, like turn-based gameplay anymore. But yeah, it does worry me. I think more a case of what they're going to add. I feel like they've got enough sense to know not to leave anything out, but I'm concerned about what they're going to add into it.
Microtransactions.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Brilliant. And on that note, that's the end of our podcast. You can keep watching the stream if you're currently watching, or rue that you missed the stream if you're listening. Thank you again for joining me, to Puce, Kayla, and Nikki, and for streaming, Nikki.
It's all right.
You can find us and tweet to us on Twitter at Grincast, and find Game Grin on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And remember to check out our Twitch stream, which some of you may be watching, from 8 p.m. UK time, currently BST, every single day. And you can find this very podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or GameGrin.com. And while you're at it, game on.